Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
And the sacred smoke is getting in my eyes. I should not have it, I guess, so close to the sacred broadcasting center, but I do, and it's not good for me tonight. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your genial host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I used to say that at the beginning of the show, every show, and then I stopped saying it for some reason. I don't know why. Perhaps I just decided I didn't like it anymore. Now, I've been listening to some of the old shows in preparation for my upcoming 3-year anniversary program. That's not next week, but the following week, 2 weeks from tonight. And I've also been doing that to prepare the show archive, which I've been working on. It's on the website. That's mudtoesasquatch.com. If you click on the tab that says something about radio shows, as radio show archive, what does it say? Something like that. Anyway, it's fairly obvious. It's pretty distinct from the other tabs. It's about radio. So you can click on that tab, and the first 30 shows are all up and ready for your listening pleasure. And you can find out what Mud Toe was like all those years ago. Wasn't that a Paul McCartney show song? All those years ago. Now I probably owe him $10,000 for doing that. But anyway, thank you for tuning in to my little radio program this evening. Or if you're listening on the archive, I'm talking now about the Blog Talk archive. Welcome. It's free to listen to the show at any time. It doesn't spoil, so far as I know. Ha! I just want to open tonight. Well, maybe with the tease first. I just never quite know exactly how to do this, but I'm gonna open with a tease first. I'm gonna say that sometimes negative can be the most beautiful word you can hear. And while you're pondering that, I promise I will come back to it later. I'm going to read just a touch of poetry, he said, while he was trying to remember where it was. Here it is. This may be familiar to you. A robin redbreast in a cage puts all heaven in a rage. A dove house filled with doves and pigeons shudders hell through all its regions. A dog starved at his master's gate predicts the ruin of the state. A horse misused upon the road calls to heaven for human blood. Each outcry of the hunted hare, a fiber from the brain does tear. That's the words of Big Bill Blake. And that put me in mind of them today, spending more time on Facebook than is probably healthy for me. And thought of the robin redbreast in a cage. And there was one in particular right here. A dog starved at his master's gate predicts the ruin of the state. And certainly there are plenty of people on Facebook predicting the ruin of the state from either direction. So that sort of put me in mind of those words, and so I share them tonight. Now, let me get back to... Okay, I had a caller, and the caller is gone. And this may or may not be a good thing, but let me just say why I point that out. Most of the people who do shows on this network with Insights Radio Network do readings. What do you want to call them? Psychic readings, intuitive readings, whatever you want to call them. People call them with questions about their lives, and the people on this network endeavor to talk to them, to step into their energy, to read their aura or whatever the particular methodology is, or modality is, and that's basically what the shows are about. This show is different. I am not comfortable doing readings. It's not something I feel is my gift. I've been called upon to do them in the past. I've had people call me on this program and on other programs. Sometimes I sit in on all the other with Insights programs and to sit in and do a reading, and I've tried my best to put my two cents in. The fact is, I am just not comfortable doing it. And so what I always say is, you know, when somebody asks me, I say, well, I really don't do readings. And then for some reason, they really need to have that reading tonight. So they sort of prevail upon me to do it. The real advice I should give is call back on Monday at 6 p.m. That's Iggy's show. And Iggy, he will read your ass off. So go and get your reading from Iggy, okay? Because right, I'm changing my I really don't do readings or I don't feel comfortable doing readings. Today has become I do not do readings. Mudtoe does not do them. So if you want a reading, this is not the place to call. If you want maudlin poetry like you just had, this is probably a good place to call. If you want to talk about current events, this is a great place to call. If you want to talk about what's going on in your life, that's fine with me as long as you don't ask me to give you a reading. Let's talk about what's going on in my life. That's good too. I love to talk about myself, but no readings, please. So here we are. Let me go back to what I teased earlier at the top of the show about negative. And I have been many times in the last few years that I've been doing this light worker thing. Accused of, you know, negativity, of being too negative, and I can't be around your negative energy. I've had people separate themselves from me on that basis, and I never really saw it as negative. The things that I was saying, the example I'll use is one guy who did, this is Facebook related. So much of it is Facebook related. Had put on a post about the possibility of legislation against sugar soft drinks, like they tried to do in New York not too long ago. There was some discussion that might be done here in my home state. And, and this gentleman who posted, of course, he was all for it. He wouldn't have posted it if he wasn't. When the government tells you what you can and what you can't do, I wonder, you know, what else can the government tell me I can and can't do? So sort of what I, you know, put out there was, you know, what, where does this, you know, if we can tell people you can drink this, but you can't drink that, you know, where does it stop? And the gentleman got very upset with me, and this is something that was very important to him. I understand that. But then he cut me off. He unfriended me, as they say, on Facebook because of my consistent negativity. And I don't think of myself as a negative person. I think of myself as a realistic person. I think of myself as someone with an inquiry mind frame, with a critical mind frame, that there's always a question to be asked, no matter. I think that's where we get taken advantage of, is when we're in situations where you're not supposed to ask the question. And it's the people who will point out that the emperor is not wearing any clothes. You know, if you know that old story. I see those people as heroic, not as negative, not as dragging everybody down. But as I said at the top of the show, there is one situation at least in which I don't think anyone could think of the word negative as being something bad, and that's when you're looking at your medical test results. And I had an opportunity to do that. And let me say, and it was a rather rather it was more tense than it had to be. You know, if it had been really bad, my doctor would have called me. He wouldn't have let me open up my test results on the internet. You know, he would have called me. And traditionally, you know, you go in and you hear the bad news, right? So he would not have allowed that to happen. He told me that if the test results were bad, which is a bad test result in a medical test is positive, and a good test result is negative. I'm not sure how that happened, but that's exactly how it's laid out now. So if my test had been bad, meaning positive, he would have called me and not let me, you know, find the. He wouldn't have released my test results to the. You go on to it's this thing that where I go. It's through the university that I used to work at, and they put all your medical information up on the computer, and you can access it all at any time. It's a lot of fun, actually. But because I went and I took my first because I finally got my Medicaid cards, and so I made my long overdue appointment to get my sugar levels and my cholesterol and all that checked, because I'm pushing 50 and I need to worry about those things now. And I got, you know, my test results came up, and I looked at them, and I says, oh, I know that's bad. I know that's not so good. So I was able to prepare myself for, you know, what I was going to say to the doc when I saw him about a week later. And, you know, I was going to try and argue my way out of additional medications. And actually, he didn't recommend any additional medications. He says, no, that number really isn't all that bad. You know, we don't worry about that until it gets up over 1,000. Okay, well, he probably shouldn't have let me know that, but... He was concerned about the sugar level being up a bit, and but he wanted to give me a chance to work back into with my diet, because everything had been sliding so much since I had this job that was in the afternoons, and I couldn't eat on a decent schedule. You know, I was sleeping until it was time to go to work, and I go to get fast food, and I go to work, and I get fast food after work, and I go home and go to sleep. You know, it's no big thing to say that your labs aren't going to be so great after you do that for several months. So he said, it'll take another 3 months and try and settle into a more comfortable pattern. Sorry about that sniff there. I've been fighting this cold for a little while. So I'm doing that. And, I'm sorry. Lost my time. I'm monitoring my communications in real time here, and I don't multitask very well. I asked a question. I was, because I knew this appointment was coming for several weeks. I had a chance to think about it. There were some wild times in my past. This going back probably 5 or 6 years, maybe a little more than that. I've been in this city for 6 years, so. But there were some wild times connected to, you know, drinking, alcohol, dope, gambling to a lesser extent. But there were always women involved nearby during these activities. And typically there would be, if I was sharing my good luck, there would be sex involved. And when things turned bad for me, I found I was still able to find that kind of, I guess, comfort. We could loosely refer to it as that. It's just that the economic scale would change. It's probably about the worst thing that I can confess in that area, is that I knew women who would have sex with me for cigarettes. So it was a different, you know, it was I was using her, she was using me. There didn't have to be any sort of actual human relationship going on, although there were moments that these things would almost seem like actual. I remember one young lady, I took her to, she went to touch up her hair color. So I took her to a large retail outlet, and we shopped for hair coloring together. And it was like, gosh, this is like almost an actual. I took her to Subway once. I remember the same girl. I took her to Subway once. And I mentioned the name of the place, a well-known sandwich establishment. And her remark to me was that no man had ever taken her out to eat before. I guess there was that was the sort of economic strata that she occupied. Without getting too many details, but that was she's also the same woman that cleaned out my apartment once of all my cash, left me. Actually took the change out of my change bowl. But she was cash left at all. But she was actually very sweet when she wasn't. When she wasn't on the chemicals. But anyway, there was a lot of sex in that time, and it was not responsible sex. It was not condom. Condoms were rarely involved, if at all. And so all through the years since then, I mean, these were women with very questionable sex and drug histories. And, you know, didn't know that any of them had any sort of, you know, there was no external evidence that I could see of illness, and I never picked up any symptoms. But I always thought about it, because I knew HIV never You can walk around with it for the rest of your life and never get sick, but you can still give it to somebody else. You know, that's some nasty stuff to have to share with somebody after the fact. You know, that's like Magic Johnson kind of shit. But I just never, for whatever reason, you know, I never was able to bring myself. Maybe perhaps because I've dated only very casually during that period of time, and it never came to a point where I was absolutely going to have to do it. But it actually, you know, I was thinking about it, and so I said, this is the time to do it. I got my Medicaid cards. I can get this done, and I finally don't have to worry about it anymore. So I asked my doc, you know, not really knowing how he was going to react to it. And he's a pretty cool guy. I like my doc. That's why I go to him. He's not one to preach. And he said that he could was okay that he could order the test through the office. And you see them all. You see these things, HIV tests all over the place. Now, there's one in a department store on not too far from me for crying out loud. And I know, you know, how much trust to put in those. And my doctor said that those are all standardized, that they'll all work. But if I felt more comfortable, he would order a blood test through his office there, and that did make me more comfortable, especially since they have a phlebotomist there who's just absolutely incredible. I've always had a lot of trouble with. I've had a lot of blood work done in my life, and I think it probably is a childhood thing. You know, going back to being poked so many times with a needle, I was always one to want to pass out when that happened. But this is a girl at my doc's office, and then there was a gentleman before that I used to go to at the student health center at the university, who are both very good. And my fear of that procedure has almost completely abated when it's one of those two people who are involved. Now, when I went to get my blood test for my sugar and things, it wasn't one of those people, and I managed to suffer through it. And that girl was trying her best. And she was very sorry. I have buried veins, and they're hard to find. Boy, that poor girl, she butchered me. She says, I had big purple marks all up and down my arm after she was done with me. I looked like a junkie. But anyway, I went to get to that day, and just as soon as our meeting was over, I went in and got my blood drawn. And he also, before he left, he says, oh, by the way, while you're at it, you might as well get tested for syphilis, too. I said, why would I want to do that? I mean, it's been years, and I haven't noticed any symptoms. He says, well, sometimes you don't. He says, syphilis, you can walk around with syphilis for years and not know it. I did not know that. So I got the other stuff, you know, the other things just that you see most commonly, gonorrhea, chlamydia, hepatitis B. And I don't mean to make light of any of these things at all. They're very serious things. They can do all kinds of damage if you don't take care of them. And you can write to me if you want and tell me how irresponsible I've been for walking around and not getting myself checked out before now. But I did. They said the other three, like the gonorrhea, the chlamydia, the hepatitis B, I certainly would have noticed something over a period of 6 or 7 years. This is, but the HIV and possibly the syphilis, I might not notice. So it's a good time getting the blood drawn anyway. Might as well get the test. So went in and had that done too. And it took a couple of days. And again, my doctor gave me he said, you know, if there's something wrong, if there's something that we need to talk about, this is, I'll get a hold of you. You know, I won't let you read that on the internet service. This is, I'll bring you in here and we'll talk about it. So I wasn't, you know, I was fairly confident that we weren't going to hear anything. And then when I saw the test results pop up on my, you know, and I got an email saying you have new test results, and I knew, well, you know, they can't be bad now because my doctor told me if they were bad, he was going to talk to me first. But still there's that, and they're still hidden. You know, I clicked on them, and you're getting ready. Now I'm going to see it, you know. I'm going to click on it, and now I'm seeing it's the old feeling of opening up the envelope, which you don't get so much anymore. Now you click and the email opens. There's still that little kind of, you know, the heart starts to beat a little faster. But I opened it up, and both tests were negative. Now, for the HIV and for the other ones as well, there's this sort of ongoing regimen especially if you are sexually active, and even if you use the old protection, use the condom. They recommend that this is that you go and get tested every 6 months. And I was not aware of that. So unless you're in a committed monogamous relationship, you're supposed to be getting STD tests every 6 months. And I was completely unaware of that. That's not what they taught us when I was a kid. The secret shame and all of that. So that's, at least as long as I have those Medicaid cards, I can certainly make that happen. Like I said, that was certainly, seeing that word negative was, even though I had no reason to believe it was going to be anything other than that, it still was quite a relief to enter into that space. That space of non-HIV, non-syphilis, just not having to worry about it, at least until the next scheduled test 6 months from now. But anyway, thank you for coming with me on that journey. I know that's not really something, probably not something you signed on to listen to tonight. Not the kind of junk I usually share. You know, when I started this show, again, this I'm listening to some of the older shows. I really thought it was going to be more about those wild days and the things I do to cope with the fact that wildness, those hot and sticky times. A big part of the recovering from addiction is mourning your addiction. It's a huge part of your life, and most, if not all, of the things that you do for pleasure are going to be gone. Certainly the people that you do it with are going to be gone, because it's not, you can't enter into recovery. I want to say it's very difficult to enter into recovery with people who aren't in recovery. I'm going to say it's impossible. I don't see how you can recover when you're surrounded by people who aren't, when your most intimate associates are people who are not in recovery. Maybe if they're not actively acting out, maybe if they're not themselves addicts. But if they're addicts, forget it. You're just gonna go right back. So I don't know where I was going with that. Just speaking in an odd sort of way, and I've shared probably a little more than I planned on sharing tonight, and I'm feeling a bit vulnerable and exposed. And now looking for someplace else to go to, and it's not coming to me. What else? What do I talk about now? I got my HIV test. What can I throw in for the last 7 minutes? That'll be the entertaining, kind of pick up the mood a bit. I don't know. Wait a minute. Here's some sounds from a cocktail party. Let's see if this helps. Is that making anybody feel any better? That's actually taking me back to some memories maybe I shouldn't be having. But anyway, that was cool. What did I do tonight? I need to get a new battery in my car. I was at work on Monday. I'm working like a temporary job five days a week. It's making it tough for me to get anything else done. And I also have a lead on a permanent job, and that'd be picking up in a couple of weeks. But that the lady, I told her I was interested, and she called me, was trying to call me today, but I was at the other job and I couldn't take the call. And then I when I come out of work, it's not the first thing in my head to get out my cell phone and see if anybody's called me. And so I didn't get on there till like 7:30. So now it's impossible to call her. She's out of the office. I don't know. I left her a message saying she could call me this weekend if she wanted to, or I would call her Monday at 4:00. So I hope I haven't blown this. I don't want to say that. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because that'll draw I blew this energy into the weekend, and I want that. So I put an affirmation up on my Facebook page saying, no, I do have time, and I do have the attention to take care of all the things I need to take care of so I can take advantage of these great opportunities. So be positive. I'm smiling right now. I'm smiling really big so that bad things don't happen. And the opportunities, the one that's the right opportunity, will come along for me. Anyway, as I mentioned, the battery in my car was dead. Because as far as I know, it's the original batteries. My brother's car. No, it's mine now. It's my brother's car before. And so AAA came out, and they send their battery truck, and he wanted to sell me a battery for $120, and I didn't have the $120. I have it now, but I went out this evening when I got home and started up the car, and it started up. Now, it made some funny kind of protesty kind of noises before it started up, but it did start up. And I'm like, why, you know... I was tired. I had to get ready for the show. I didn't want to deal with calling AAA out tonight. This is what I was going to do. I was going to have them send their battery truck back out and put another battery in. If I want the car to be reliable, the next time I want it, I need it to reliably for something is Wednesday when I'm going to Mount Carmel for my pre-op to get my cysts removed from my scalp. So I should put the new battery in before then. I don't know why I want to delay. I suppose I could probably do it over the weekend too. I mean, it's AAA, 24 hours a day. I could probably do it now if I wanted to. I don't want to. I'm supposed to drive to tomorrow's haircut day, and lovely Miss Suzanne, Iggy's wife, cuts my hair. And if my car doesn't start up, I won't be able to get out there. And of course, AAA may come in. Come out in a hurry and get me back on the road. You just never know how those things are going to work out. But the car was something, again, there's always, the car was something I had scratched off my list. I was having so much trouble with my old Buick Century, and the car was constantly requiring attention. And so when I got rid of that car and I bought my brother's car, I said, finally, that's something I'm not, the car comes off of the list, and I can pay attention to some other things. Now the car pops back onto the list. And I had I mentioned I'm going into the hospital to have some cysts removed. It's outpatient stuff. I'm going for pre-op on Wednesday, and I'm having the surgery done on Friday. But I get a letter from the surgeons today asking, now make sure you've called your insurance and have all this pre-approved if it needs to be pre-approved, and this, that, and the other thing. Now there's more stuff I got to do. It's tough enough to get me to make one phone call in a day, and now they're piling up. And I realize that's all my fault. That's my sort of eccentricity, not liking to speak on the phone. But it becomes very frustrating. I just wish I had somebody else to do that stuff for me. And I sort of almost did. I went to the county mental health board, and they were helping me out with my, get me on Medicaid and with my food stamps and so forth. And when I finally got on Medicaid, they had to stop working with me because the county can't work with you if you're on Medicaid. So they've transferred me to somebody else. And in the meantime, I'm stuck with trying to get these details taken care of myself. Let's, take a deep breath. It's not such a bad thing. I have some money in the bank. I got some things I can take care of. I'm quite sure that this wonderful person is going to call me on Monday, and we'll get to some sort of interview time scheduled. That's going to happen, and if it's the best thing for me, then we'll move on to that. So I want to thank you for listening to my deep dark confessions this evening. Again, sorry that kind of did go further than I was thinking of taking it. But thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening. Please join me again next week. And once again, thank you and good night.